Good morning and happy Mother's Day. Hey, yeah, you can clap for Mother's Day, that's right. Hey, we're really excited to celebrate you mothers here this morning, and you're gonna stay standing for just one moment. And we have a great message and just awesome things that are gonna be happening this morning. But before we do that, I just wanna take a moment, because we do recognize that mothering has a lot of different capacities. And for some of you, you might have walked in here and Mother's Day is a happy day, but for some of you, you might have walked in and Mother's Day is a tinge of maybe pain or a tinge of difficult situations. So I just wanted to acknowledge that for some of you that have gone through maybe difficult times when you think of the idea of Mother's Day. So I'm going to read something real quick, and then we're going to pray and move into the rest of the message. Is that okay? All right. To those who struggled with infertility, this morning we pray for you. To those who've lost their moms, this morning we mourn with you. To those who've experienced miscarriages or stillbirth, neonatal death, or yes, even abortion, this morning we stand with you. To those who've been caught in limbo as they struggle to adopt, we won't give up with you. To those who've labored and mothered under the grievous diagnosis of a child or have a hospitalized child in intensive care, we support you. To those who've parented through a divorce, we're here for you. To those who've been deployed serving far away from other families, we remember you in your service today. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointment, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. And to those whose daughters or sons are missing, we're believing with you for their safe return. To those who've never physically given birth but have adopted legally or spiritually those around you, we celebrate you. Today, Father, we thank you that mothers are in our midst. And we thank you that mothers, being a mother means great things, but there's a lot of things that come along with that. And so, Father, we ask that all mothers today, all women today, Father, would feel a special grace from you, from your character, knowing that mothering comes from your heart, from your characters. Both men and women have been made in your likeness. And so, Father, we celebrate all mothers and all different types of motherhood coming from all different types of mothering situations this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm a big fan of tradition for many different reasons. One being that oftentimes I'm so scattered in my planning ability, meaning I have no planning ability, that I lose focus on things at different times I should be focusing on. And so I like tradition because tradition forces me in a rhythm in my year to pay attention to specific things that are important. Maybe Christmas and celebrating Christ's birth, or Easter, celebrating his death and resurrection. Tradition helps me focus on different things. And today we're here to celebrate Mothers and Mother's Day. But more than that, we're here to celebrate where the idea of mothering even comes from, which is it comes from the heart of God. And so I love the opportunity on Mother's Day to take some time to focus, yes, on our mothers, like we do on our fathers on Father's Day. But what can we learn from our mothers, and how are mothers a picture of the character and nature of our God? That actually we could talk this morning a bit about not just God as the Father, but also God as a mother. That we could talk about and learn about the femininity of God, where many times we talk so much about the masculinity of God. Because we know that God is not a female and God is not a male, that in many ways God transcends gender, but he's given us the male and female gender to reveal to us a bit of his character. And that in their union and marriage, we get a beautiful picture of who our God is. And so Mother's Day is a chance to celebrate you moms, which I'm going to do by talking about all my failed mom attempts this morning, which there are a lot of them. But my heart this morning is that we could all walk out of here with a greater understanding of the mother heart of God, and that even those of us as men who are not mothers, that we can walk out thinking, wow, I thought I just needed to do the man thing with my kids, but actually there's some things I can learn from the heart of God and how I can express the feminine side, and that's not just for moms, though moms, we all know, do it best. And so this morning my heart is that you'll capture a bit of the femininity of God. Because I think all too often we focus on a dominating, we focus on a ruling, a disciplinarian, masculine God. But very rarely do we talk about the part of God we all really want to experience, which is the comforting, pick us up, care for us, feminine side of God. And so my heart is that I can express some of that this morning. Now, please don't judge me, because we could literally do a year series on the femininity of God. And I'm going to do my best to just cover a couple of the aspects and illustrations that God speaks about himself in Scripture, but it's not going to obviously encompass all of the femininity of God. So there'll be some things you'll really love that I say this morning and some things you'll probably miss that I didn't get a chance to cover. Don't email me tonight about that, okay? That's basically what I'm saying. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So we can see right in the beginning of Scripture that God is giving a role in his character being displayed through the male and female gender. And obviously, as we know, the Bible is written primarily in the Middle Eastern audience. And so much of the revelation comes with the pronoun of a male pronoun. But we also know that God says in the beginning that I represent myself in both male and female character traits. And so this is something that we understand and we know. And maybe at times we don't focus on enough because we just maybe assume that God, of course, is already nurturing. God is, of course, already cares for us. God, of course, already wants to walk us through things. But many times we just focus mostly on the masculine side, but actually it's the feminine side that maybe is the thing that we all desire the most. When my son falls and hurts himself really bad, if I am there and my wife is there, surely enough, he will run so fast towards me and then immediately take a right turn and run to his mom. Because there's just something about when things go wrong, I want mom. Mom's stable, mom's consistent, mom always comfort, mom always has Band-Aids in her bag, like mom's got everything. That's cool, but mom I need right now. And so this morning, we're going to hammer home a little bit more of this femininity of God. Now, I've learned a bit about mothering, obviously from my own mom, which I've experienced greatly. But, you know, as a kid and your mom, you don't recognize everything they've done for you until you get in the position where you're having children and you're like, oh, now I'm learning what's going on. And so my wife and I have two children that are 8 and 6. Well, 7 and 6 right now. And there was some time ago where I had spent a lot of time early in our marriage and early when we first started having kids, that my ministry being international, I would spend a lot of time traveling away from my family. And early on when our kids were first born and they were in diapers and nursing, they needed to be close to my wife and that made sense. So when I would leave, she would be with the kids and everything, it was harmonious. Everything seemed fine in that stage. And then one day, my kids weren't nursing anymore. And my wife came to me and said, you know, Matt, like, it's really cool that you travel around the world and you help people, but, you know, I think I might be able to do that just as good as you, if not better. And I'm like, oh, really? And she's like, yeah. So she said, you know, I'm thinking that this next year coming up, I'd like to do a 3-week trip and visit all of our teams and interns around the world while you stay with the kids. And I initially responded in a loving way, and I said, but I can't do that. And she said, why can't you do that? And I don't know, surely I can't do that. For some reason, I can't do that. And she goes, but why can't you? And I'm like, I don't know. I just know I can't do that. And I couldn't think of a good enough reason because my kids were in nursing. I could feed them. I could change diapers. I could stay up all hours of the night. I could not shower for days on end. And so she left. 48 hours in, I was already counting the minutes until she was going to return. I had 3 weeks of minutes to count. I had never showered so little, eaten so little. I got to the point where I just wanted to have an adult conversation for once in my life. By the time my wife came home after about 3 weeks, I ran out the door, collapsed on the pavement, and begged her just to take everything over. And of course, my kids were running right behind me going, finally, something different than chicken McNuggets. That became a regular habit. In fact, every year my wife would do this trip. And it became something that I actually loved to do because it challenged me to learn more of the heart of God, not just the things that I was doing in my masculine nature, but the things I needed to learn to do in the feminine nature. And it actually did a lot in my heart and how I treated people around me. Because I started thinking to myself then and started thinking, why do I think I have to only do these things as because I'm a man and masculine? Why isn't there things that I can't learn from the heart of God that are feminine? And vice versa, why doesn't a mom only have to do feminine things? Why can't she also lean into the masculinity? Because if God in his character is a real man and woman, and it's his character ultimately, can't we glean from God's character and grow in those categories? And that's what I began to realize. Now, there's a couple things that I think God really hammers home in Scripture that gives us a picture of his feminine side. The first one being this idea, which we all know, where God compares himself to several different kinds of animals taking care of their young. In Hosea, he refers to that he, Is it Hosea? Hosea refers to a time where he is a mother bear and someone has removed his cubs from him, her, and his response is that of a protective mother bear going after those that have taken their kids. And he's describing, God's given this illustration to describe to Israel his loving care for them. There's another scripture in Deuteronomy that talks about that he's like an eagle in a nest caring for his young. And then there's a great one that Jesus actually brings up in Matthew chapter 23, that he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. See, the idea of the feminine side of God many times isn't attributed to this protective nature. A lot of times we would think, oh, the protective nature might be handled from the masculine side. But here, three times in Scripture, God describes his protective nature not as a masculine protective nature, but as a feminine protective nature. And you might all recognize that as moms, at times that something's happened with your children and your husband ran away for fear and you stayed behind to take care of your kids. In fact, someone came up to me last night and told me one of those stories. And I said, well, where was your dad? And he goes, he ran faster than the rest of us. There's something about moms that click in a crisis situation to help them. In fact, if you were to Google super moms, you'll find many stories come up of where situations occurred and moms did superhuman things to protect their young. There's a couple stories. One of them is where an earthquake was happening and the building was about to collapse, and so she jumped out of the third floor of the building, clutching her child backwards so she would land on her back and protect her child. The child walked with not even a scratch. The mom broke her back. They said she'd never walk again. And sure enough, she knew she was determined to. And less than a year later, she was walking again. Another story is of a woman taking her child to blueberry picking in the Pacific Northwest. In the process of blueberry picking, a cougar comes jumping out of the woods, grabs onto the child. What does the mom do? She immediately jumps into the child, wedges herself between the child and the cougar, pushes her child away, stands up, walks away, the cougar on her back, then shakes the cougar off, and the cougar lets out a scream and runs away. The child said to her mom, that kitty wasn't nice, Mom. There's another story where a woman, and this is funny, because this protective quality in the feminine nature of God and in displayed in motherhood is not even just for biological moms, it's for non-biological moms. And that a couple of women were sitting out on their porch having some lemonade or hanging out in the heat of a summer day, and the kid across the street came running across the street, and they watched what happened. The kid was running in the street, and they saw this car coming extremely fast, and they tried to yell, but the car didn't hear and just drove and hit the kid. When it hit the kid, the car kind of slowed down enough to hit the kid and roll over on top of the kid, and then the guy stopped going, what's the matter? The mom and the other mom dropped their drinks, run out, and this is what happened. They literally lifted a one-ton car to get the kid out from underneath the car. Like, how is that even possible? Because there's something in women that's a protective nature that they almost can do superhuman things in the need to fix something or to protect something. Women protect their kids. And God's saying that that is a characteristic of mine. And when he's going to tell Israel and tell the people of the nation that I'm their protector, the illustration he's going to use to them is not that I'm a conquering warrior. It's not that I have a big sword. It's not that I have a big army. The illustration God uses is of an animal protecting its young. He's saying that protective nature I've deposited in women, it's part of my character I've put in them. And as we look at our moms today and we celebrate our moms, when we think about the ways that our moms have been protective over us, we can celebrate that that character trait comes from God. And it's interesting because even in some ancient warfares, women, like in the Vikings, were known to stay behind, and they stood behind while the men went to war. Women stayed behind particularly because they were the greater warriors and they could actually protect the village and protect the city. So this idea of God as protector can be seen as a feminine side of God, a feminine quality of God. And when we see mothers here that have been protecting us or protecting their young or protective of those around them, even those that are adopted or brought into their and around them, we know that that is a picture of the character of God. And all of us, men included, can learn from the way that a woman protects her young. And we can learn to do the same. God protects like a mother. Second thing is God's way of nurturing. Isaiah 49, verse 15 reads, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." Now, it's interesting that God would make an analogy here of himself as a mother that would be breastfeeding. Now, all of you women know, and this is, I got to be careful because what I'm going to say in this next one, because it's breastfeeding and I'm not a good, so. My perspective. When my children were born and my wife was nursing our children, a couple things couldn't happen. First of all, my wife couldn't put our child down, because if my wife walked into the room and there was milk in the room, the kid was not going to sleep. The second thing is, if my wife was gone from my child for too long, she would get in dramatic pain because she needed to nurse that milk out to take care of that child. And it's interesting that God's saying, this is how much I love you. This is how much I desire to nurture you, that I'm like a woman that wouldn't leave my child who I'm breastfeeding. That I can't, it's almost like God saying, I physically can't leave you. I love you so much, I physically can't depart from you. And so this thing speaks a couple things to me. It speaks this idea of nurturing our children once they're born, and it speaks another thing of providing and caring and nourishing our children once they're born. My daughter, in one of those times that my wife was traveling, again, I do my best to speak into my children's life, but there's just something my wife has to speak directly to my daughter and my son with very pointed, purposeful discipleship issues. My daughter was about 5 years old, I believe, and we were down at the beach one day. And as you know, when it's really hot out and it's summer out, some young women like to wear bathing suits that aren't really bathing suits at all. And they get wedged in parts that you wouldn't think a bathing suit should be wedged in. And my daughter came home with me from the beach, and as we're walking by the beach, she yells from the other side of the pool, "Hey, Dad!" And I'm like, "Yeah, honey." She goes, "Does this look good?" And I turn around, and she's taking her bathing suit and wedged it up her butt, and she's looking up, bending over like this. And in that moment, I'm like, "I need my wife, I need my wife, I need my wife, I need my wife." Because I'm like, this is the time that I respond in a comment that's going to make her go to therapy when she's older. Like, I'm not sure I'm going to say the right thing right now, you know? So I'm there going, nurturing, nurturing, be nurturing, be nurturing. Oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. What is she doing? Get that out of your butt. Oh my, you know, I'm like, nurture, nurture. And so I just said in a very brilliant discipleship, spirit-filled way, I looked at her and said, "Honey?" She said, "Yeah, Dad." I said, "Well, does it feel good?" And she's like, "No, it hurts." And I'm like, "Yes, it hurts." My wife would have been able to have a very good conversation about womanhood and different things like that. Very women are just nurturing. They have the words to say. They just can come in. They're patient. They can repeat it over and over again in different ways. And it's amazing. I'm just like, function. Does it hurt? In fact, recently my wife, just before we moved here, she was in a really bad moped accident where she was driving her moped and someone came and sideswiped her and hit her, and she flew off her moped and cracked her teeth and all this bad stuff. And so I was with my kids and we were en route. Then we were in Jamba Juice waiting for her. She couldn't meet us. So then we had to go try to meet her where she was, obviously the ambulance. So we drive up and it's kind of a dramatic experience. There's lights everywhere, cops, fire trucks, everyone's there. My kids are kind of freaking out in the car. I'm like, "Stay here, I'm going to go over." And I go in the ambulance. My wife's a mess, crying. You know, we get her in the ambulance. And I said, "Okay, I'll follow you to the hospital." So I go back and I get in the car and my daughter's starting to cry. And I'm thinking, oh, poor kids. Like, the worst thing to see their mom in an ambulance all messed up like this, you know. Thankfully, they didn't see all blood and stuff at that time. So we start driving, we're following the ambulance, and sure enough, my daughter starts crying more and more, and she just starts sobbing, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, Selah, it's okay." And she's like, "I'm so sad." And I'm like, "Honey, it's okay." I go, "Mommy's going to be okay." And she goes, "No, I'm not crying about mommy." I said, "Well, what are you crying about?" She goes, "If mommy's in the hospital, who's going to feed us?" And then my son starts crying. "Daddy, you can't cook!" Women have a capacity to nurture and nourish our children that's unprecedented. I take my kids to bonsai bowls in San Clemente. I don't know, it's just an acai bowl, but not to them. Mom knows the right amount of strawberries, berries, cups of this, honey that. I'm like, "What the heck? It's the same thing. Just eat it." But women know the details to care and nurture that in their children. They know the things, what fights to pick and what fights not to pick. They know the words to communicate. Women do that not just because they're clever. They do that because it comes from the character and nature of our God. And so when we think about the ways that our moms cared for us, we have to realize they cared for us not just because they were cleverly a good mom. They cared for us because they did it from the character of God. That in the minute details that our moms nourished and nurtured us, feeding us and protected us, and those little tiny details, we need to look at that and go, wow, I celebrate my mom, but even greater than that, I celebrate where that came from. I celebrate God. Because this is God's nature displayed in creation. This is the character of God displayed in creation through the way in which my mom cares for me. And I know when I read through the Bible, I read a lot of pronouns that are male-focused. But I have to understand that before those terms are written down, God also told us that it was both man and woman that displayed his very character. The nurturing, nourishing characteristic of our moms that it's so brilliantly done is done from the heart and character of our God. In many ways, our world needs to see more of that today. In many ways, us men need to champion that character trait in society today more than ever before. Lastly, while God protects like a mother, nurtures and nourishes like a mother, God also creates like a mother. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 14. For a long time, I have kept silent. I've been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. That God would literally say, in an analogy, that I'm trying to birth things into you in the nation of Israel like that of a mother. That God would have so much value on what mothers do to create life that he would compare himself as a mother giving birth. That God would say, maybe one of the most important things that I've given humanity to do is the ability to create life. That when I think of my Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, and when we think of how we created man and woman in our likeness, the gift that we gave woman is the ability to do what we've always done, which is birth things back into creation. Now, it's interesting because many times we don't focus much on this, but God could have done anything with his Son. He could have made Jesus appear. He could have made Jesus just grow up on the ground. He could have made Jesus float down from the clouds. But what did he do with the seed of his Son? He placed it inside of a woman. Why did God place the seed of the Savior of the world inside of a woman? Because that was the best place his Son could be. Because he knew that that mom would care for his Son those 9 months. He knew that mom would do everything to nurture and provide for his Son when he was born. He knew that mom would do everything to protect his Son. The safest and most valued place for the Savior of the world was not meant to be just arriving, but was meant to be a seed placed in the woman. God has given woman the capacity to birth creation, to create new life. Obviously, men, we know we have a place to. We do our part, not a very long part, but we do our part. But women have the capacity to create, to nurture, to protect life. And so I hope this Mother's Day that all of us can walk out here going, wow, when I think about my mom or grandma or auntie or sister even, when I think about these people in my life and I think about the way, the capacity that they have to mother, it's amazing that they have that capacity. Man, I need to realize that that comes from the heart of God. I came across this blog that I'm going to read very briefly in closing this morning, and I hope it encourages you to see mother as something way more than maybe what society has meant it to be. It's entitled Mighty Mother. There are those who say that this is ordinary, but don't let that fool you. Mother will always be the bravest, least ordinary, most difficult, and utterly challenging career that anyone ever hopes to lay claim to. While others might hear diaper changer, food maker, carpooler, bottle washer, laundry doer, sweatpants wearer, life on hold, want to be doing anything else, woman, the truth, whether it feels like it some days or not, is that you are in fact a shelter from the storm. You are the Cape of Good Hope. You are a warrior who will battle for your children's hearts, souls, attention, innocence, education, and memories. Go to battle, my friends. This is your time. We will hold strong on either side of you. We will pray over those bottles through the dark watches of the night when doubt comes and children break, when adults fail them, when they push and push as hard against us as the day that we delivered them into the world. We will not be broken. We may ache and see cracks tear through our hearts, but we will get up again tomorrow and load the clothes and the words that need to be said again and again and again. And the world tries to claw at them, to break them, to smash the beauty in them. May our walls hold true. May the lessons we've told, the truths we've lived, the life we've spoken into them come back easily, predictably, and wash and repeat ease. Kingdom business, Jesus work, the shaping of souls, these raising tiny humans. There are those that say that this is ordinary, but don't buy that for a second. Mighty, you are mighty because you mother. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your character is displayed both in masculine forms and feminine forms. Father, I pray for all of us that this morning we would be able to leave here celebrating the loved ones in our lives, those mothers in our lives, but in celebrating them, we'd celebrate you because they are you depicted in our life. Father, we thank you that they are you and your character shown in our life, that they are an aspect of your femininity shown in our life. And that, Father, as we celebrate them today, we celebrate you, Father. And we take this time to have a tradition in our year to realize God is both masculine and feminine. And so, Father, I pray a special blessing on mothers here this morning, that you would uplift them, encourage them, give them supernatural strength and ability to continue to do what they do and remind them that they display your character in society by doing the things they do so well, which is mothering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.